Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Welcome to our morning show from WRC Radio. Great to have you in the studio with us. On the air with us, in the studio with us. We have some great guests from River Valley Schools today. We have Administrator Mr. Lauren Glassbrenner here today. Also, we have students Jasmine Gauger, Dave Van Halgren, and Tessa Pear. They're going to be talking about an upcoming musical presentation at River Valley Schools. So, it's been a month. What's happening there, Mr. Glassbrenner?
Well, we're really dug into the school year, as we say. We're through October, jumping right into November. We've got lots of things happening over at the River Valley campus. We're excited for all the great things that the kids are involved in. The fall season has kind of wrapped up. You get this too. You get a couple nights off here and there, Phil.
Right.
But
for a week.
Yep, for a week. The fall season's over, and then we'll jump into winter sports. So a lot of those teams are starting to practice and really get involved in a lot of those things, including activities. So athletics and activities. So our activities are in full swing. So we've got things like forensics and mock trial and our musical, which we're famous for over in River Valley. So we've got all those things happening, as well as kids are just really excited about this time of year. We really only have 2.5 weeks or so, and then we hit Thanksgiving, we come back, we have 2.5 weeks or so, and we get into a holiday, we come back, we have 2.5 weeks or so, and then we're at the end of a semester and half of the school year is done. So everything's really flying by and everything's really fun. So it's a great time to be in a school. So to everybody out there, just stay involved with your schools, stay involved with the news at your schools, because it's just a great thing to be a part of.
Well, you've already completed one quarter, haven't you?
We have. The end of first quarter for all schools would have been mid-October, so I think it was October 22nd, I believe, for the Valley. And so, yep, we're already into second quarter, and for the high schoolers, that means any of those semester classes are into their final stretches. So they're busy and learning and doing their very best to stay on top of things.
And for winter sports, right around the corner, and I think you have at least one new coach for winter sports.
I believe we do, yes. We have some new coaches in boys basketball. I think we've got some new coaches in different spaces. I know we have a new coach for girls wrestling as well, so we've expanded wrestling programming over at River Valley as well. So a local coach that was hired in as a school psychologist. So we're excited to have Ms. Savannah Johnson as a new coach over at River Valley High School. So we always like to have new things that are offered. Again, I speak to this every time I try to come, Phil, but kids that are involved do better in school. So the more they're involved in any kind of activity, whether it's wrestling or whether it's forensics or the musical or student government, all of those things make them a better kid in school. Their grades go up. Their attendance goes up. Their participation really matters. And so for anybody out there, make sure your kids are involved. It's a really good thing.
Yeah, teams and, in this case, groups at the musical, they kind of hold one another accountable, don't they?
They sure do. It builds a family. So with the three people, participants that are in here today, I will pick on David. If David falls behind on something, Jasmine's going to jump on him and make sure that he catches up so that he can be a part of that musical. It's the family helping each other, supporting each other, and making sure they hold each other accountable so that their directors can do the fine work that they do.
Some schools have been putting on musicals this week and next weekend. River Valley's typically is kind of toward the holiday season, isn't it?
It is. It's been a tradition in River Valley to kind of have a December show. So it really kicks off the holiday season. And there will be holiday concerts as well for choir and band. So for some of these kids that are in more than one thing, they'll be very busy for a lot of nights. But the musical is a highlight for them, and it will be an incredible show. Again, they'll give you the details on that, but we're very fortunate to also use a professional space for our productions of the musical. So a huge shout out to the American Players Theater. They allow us to use their space up on the hill, and so we get to go out and use a professional space that has professional sound, professional lighting, and really gets the kids into a professional space. And I'm really excited for that opportunity, and again, thank you to the neighbors at American Players Theater for letting our kids come out and do that.
And you have pretty much professional directors of this event too, don't you?
We do. And I'll let the kids speak to that. They'll give you details about the three of them. Mr. Stanek, Ms. Young and Ms. Schenker, all the kids will give you that idea, but they are professionals doing professional work with high school kids. And so we get an incredible product, but I think that's because they expect a lot out of our kids. I almost called them children. They're really not children. They're young adults, and they're really working hard, and they have high expectations for them. So they push them hard and expect a good product for our audiences as well.
Well, let's put them on stage.
That's great.
Put the spotlight on them, shall we? Let's start with our senior here, Jasmine Gauger. Good morning, Jasmine. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. You?
Great. Great. Good to have you in here. So tell me a little bit about yourself, if you would.
So I'm a senior at River Valley High School. Aside from the musical, I'm involved in a lot of other activities. I'm a student council officer. I'm a yearbook officer. I do dance. I was a football cheerleader, which my season's now over. But I have a lot of other musical endeavors. I'm in our chamber choir, our jazz band. I have a lot of solo and ensemble events that I do. I keep myself pretty busy, yeah. But this musical is always a highlight of my winter. Actually, a highlight of my first semester, honestly. We started in September, so.
You always have a song in your head, I would say.
Oh, always. Always. Schenker always says you have something to practice once musical starts.
Sure. So tell me about Mean Girls, because I think we're familiar with the movie, many of us.
Yeah.
Is it similar?
So both were written by Tina Fey, so they sort of have the same, like, vibe. I'm going to phrase it like that. But Mean Girls, the musical, I feel like has their Janice and Damien actually sort of act as narrators throughout the musical. So we bring up points about cyberbullying and about, and I'm drawing a blank on all my lines, but, the musical is more geared towards like being able to see how high school dynamics play out and like the cause and effect of all of those. Whereas I feel like the movie uses high school like relationships and dynamics and stuff like that as a punchline. Whereas I feel like the musical portrays the characters more as real people. So you're able to empathize with the characters more and you're able to see where Katie's coming from when she makes the decision she makes, or where Janice and Damien are coming from when they make their comment, even where Regina George is coming from. Like, you get to see some of her background. I feel like the musical helps humanize those characters more.
Yeah, good point. And I think, as you mentioned, you're kind of tying that in with some real world things too,
yeah.
Aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. I would say every high schooler I've ever met has been in some sort of scenario that you see in this musical, whether it's changing yourself to fit in with a friend group or saying something about a friend behind their back because you're frustrated with them in the moment. I feel like every high schooler has lived some part of Mean Girls, and giving Tina Fey those characters more depth in the musical helps kids to sort of see what they're doing, see why it's wrong, but also see, like, everybody gets the reason behind it, but then to see how you can fix those things. Yeah.
Tell me about the character that you play.
So I play Janice Sarkeesian. She is the, like, punk sort of best friend. She and Damien are, like, the dynamic duo, and they catch Katie as soon as she comes into school, and I think people interpret her character in a couple of different ways. Some people will say she's taking advantage of Katie when she comes in, because Janice right away warns Katie, don't hang out with the plastics, don't avoid those girls, they're mean. But I think I take Janice as, so part of Janice's storyline is that she was bullied by Regina George through middle school. And I think Janice just wants to protect Katie. Because there's a lot of, Janice is a character, she reminds me a little bit of myself, where there's a lot of self-preservation, but there's also a lot of confidence there. So it's not like everything she does is just out of spite. She also, Janice knows who she is, and she is not ashamed of that. In her song, I'd Rather Be Me, it's all about, I would rather be authentically myself than fit in with any of you. And I love that about her.
Yeah, that sounds like a good song, some good words to
it's
live
fantastic,
by.
Fantastic, yeah.
Right. So, and then are you involved in some other ensembles too, other than the solo that you sang?
Yeah, there's a couple numbers with Janice and Damien, which are always fun. And then I have Apex Predator with Katie, which is a fantastic song. Yeah, Janice sings a lot.
That's awesome.
She's always in there.
Yeah, so it sounds like a plum part. Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it your favorite role that you've had so far?
I think so. Yeah, it feels like I keep Janice very close to my heart, and I've had a lot of roles that I love. I've been in a lot of shows over the years, but I feel like I'm able to get into Janice more than a lot of the other characters. So yeah.
It's wonderful. Well, let's bring your counterpart, Dave Van Halgren, in here as well. Dave, what part do you play?
I play Damien Hubbard, Janice's best friend in the musical. It's a great part. It's a narrator part. Brings some comic relief into it. I think he's a very bright character, big character, so I make a lot of bold choices. My director, Sarah Young, it's a famous line when she tells me, to bring it down from 11. I don't know if you've seen the movie Spinal Tap.
Sure.
But there's a famous line where they say it's at 11. So a lot of the time I'll make huge choices and then it's her job to rein me in. But I feel like that's kind of what this character is all about. Makes big choices, welcomes Katie to the school, kind of is a narrator to this place. And I definitely think he shares a lot of the same characteristics that I do. And I think that's sometimes a challenge, playing a character who's kind of close to you. I think it's easier to be somebody, sometimes when you're acting, it's easier to be somebody who you're not. So it's been a real challenge, but also excitement to me to be somebody who I align myself with a little bit.
It sounds like a little unique, too, because you'll be not only playing the part, but then you address the audience, too. Is that correct?
Yes, that's true. It's a really
There's
cool
a lot of fourth wall breaks from
fourth
us.
Fourth wall. Yeah.
Fourth wall breaks, yeah.
You're told not to do that, typically. Right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But it's written right in there, and it's fantastic.
It'll be great.
Uh-huh. Good deal. What are some other things you're involved in?
I do a lot of the same things as Jasmine. I do choir, band. I play the trombone. I'm a tenor in chamber ensemble. I do mock trial, which is something that I started in high school that I really love. And we have a really great program. And I help out. I work at the elementary school, help with the little kids. And yeah, so that's my deal.
River Valley's got a great history in mock trial as well. So when does that competition start? Pretty soon, does it?
Yes, actually, practices start tomorrow.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's exciting. And then we'll practice for a couple of months, and then we'll go to regionals in lacrosse and just face competition. It's kind of like acting, except you're in a courtroom and there's a lot more rules, but it's great. It's great practice.
So I'm guessing sometimes with some of the topics in mock trial, you've got to pretend like you know what you're talking about, even though you might not have a clue, right?
Oh, definitely. There's been parts where I completely try to make something up on the stand. I'm a witness, so you just really got to be prepared to see whatever you get thrown with. It's kind of like improvisation, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you sing many songs in the Mean Girls?
I do sing quite a bit. I have a song introducing Katie to all the different social groups at the school, and then one when Katie is starting to change who she is to become popular. I sing a song warning her against that. And I also sing some songs with Janice, Jasmine, and Tessa, and the whole ensemble. So yeah, it's a great part.
Are the songs tough? How hard are they to learn?
They're not as hard to memorize because I've been listening to them for a year now, but definitely it's hard to really get those notes, especially since
technically some of them are really hard. There's a lot of vocal gymnastics, as we call it.
Oh. Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I mean, Rebecca Schinker is one of the best music teachers in the area, so it's really so great that I get that resource, and she can help me be the best singer I can be.
Absolutely. And you got a lot of tradition there at River Valley. You've put on a lot of great musicals through the years, so you kind of, they hold you to a high standard,
oh, yeah.
Don't they?
Oh, for sure. Our directors and our audience expect great things from us because they've seen some of the great performances we've put out in the past. So they have high expectations, and we have high expectations for ourselves. So we hold each other to the highest standard.
Jasmine, could you give us the dates for the production?
Yes. So our show dates are December 13th at 7:30 p.m., December 14th at 2:30 and 7:30 p.m., and December 15th at 2:30 p.m.
It's the hottest ticket in town during
that
time,
yeah.
Isn't it? Sure. So anybody ever scalp them, you know, and try to? So.
A couple of years ago, we had an issue with online scammers.
I was just kind of kidding, but yeah.
It was much better last year. We didn't run into it as much.
Uh-huh. Yep. So get your tickets while they last, right?
Exactly.
Well, we'll bring on another junior as well. Tessa Pear is here. Tessa, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, not bad. We've been talking about you. Good to have you here now in front of the microphone. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Obviously, I'm in the musical. Besides that, I am involved in choir and band, and I'm a part of the chamber ensemble at school. And then I'm also on the school yearbook committee, and I did football cheer this fall.
Wow.
It was my first year.
You've been busy as well.
Yeah. So,
great. You are active. Well, tell us about the character that you play then in Mean Girls.
So I play Katie Heron, and in the beginning of the play, she moves from Africa to, it's in Illinois, right? Just like a school in Illinois. So she's kind of just like thrown into high school, and like all of us have been like raised just like knowing like kind of what the standard is and how you're supposed to act, but to her it's all just super new and foreign. So the play kind of shows her navigating that and sometimes not making the best decisions, but it kind of just shows her like learning all of the like new ways to be.
Have you been in a situation like that before? Have you been the new kid, or you've moved?
I would not say so. I've been at River Valley for my entire school career, and I've been in Spring Green my whole life, so that's a little bit hard to relate to, but I think that everyone's kind of had a situation in their life where they're not like you don't have like a friend to turn to, and you're kind of just like, you have to be by yourself in a crowd, so I think that that's where I pull the relation from in my life.
Do you have a lot of songs that you sing?
Oh, yeah.
I bet.
It feels like too many sometimes. Yeah, there's quite a few.
Which one is your favorite?
I would have to say Stupid with Love. It's when Katie is first introduced to Aaron in her calculus class, and she kind of gets to, like, you know, like it's her first time seeing a boy that she's, like, interested in since she was, I think, 13. So, yeah, and that's just, I like that song a lot because it's like kind of, I don't get to be funny a lot or like silly in my character, so that's just a moment where I know that I might make people laugh a little bit because she's just so over the top with like how interested she is in him like right away.
In the movie, there's the big book where they're writing things about each other. Is that a part of the play as well?
It is. It's a big part of the play. Yeah, we're introduced to it in Act 1, and then in one of Regina's songs in the second act, it actually comes to a front, and it's pretty similar to the movie in that way where, yeah.
They start reading about what you've been written or what people have written about them and things like that. And then that's where all the conflicts come in at the end.
Yeah, so it's where everything kind of comes to a head.
Awesome deal.
We actually have a chunk of dialogue that sort of talks about the Burn Book.
Ah, Burn Book. I couldn't think of that title.
Yes, it's the Burn Book.
Give it a go.
You want to do it? Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
And they have this book, this burn book, where they just write mean things about girls in our grade.
What does it say about me?
Oh, you're not in it. Those witches!
What is this? Can I eat it?
That's a calcine bar. My mom used to give them to kids in Africa to help them gain weight.
I can feel it working.
We should grind those up and put them in Regina's food.
No, Janice. I'll keep eating lunch with them, but that's it.
And so she did. Katie spent weeks pretending to like Regina.
And for real liking Aaron in the safe space of AP Calculus.
Awesome. That's good. Here it is, November 11th, and you already have your lines down, at least that part. Right?
Oh, yeah. Lines, all the lines are due today.
Oh, are due today. Okay, so this is a great test for a radio audience. That's awesome. Let's take time out, and we'll come back with more. We might even convince him to sing a song here as we talk about Mean Girls at the River Valley District, and we'll have more from Mr. Lauren Glassbrenner as well on The Morning Show. Our spotlight is on River Valley Schools here on a Monday morning show from WRCO. In for his monthly visit, Mr. Lauren Glassbrenner. We've learned a lot about Mean Girls so far. Looks like it's going to be a great production.
It's going to be a great production. I get the best job in the region. I get to be the person that brings you great people to talk about great things that are happening in our school district. So it's just really fun to be there. And I think Mean Girls is a great show, as Jasmine said earlier. you know, it's allowing us to be a part of that high school climate, that high school culture, but also learning as we go so that we can take those lessons away from it. And as David said, you know, it's easier sometimes to be someone when we aren't just like them. So that's cool. And so, you know, if Tessa says, you know, she feels alone in that crowd, she's getting those skills. So all those things together make up the great show. And I think kids will learn from this. Adults will learn from this. It'll be a show that everybody will enjoy.
Indeed. Let's talk about some other things going on. I think we may have touched on this once before, but Project Lunchbox, what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so River Valley has started a fund at our district office that really provides financial assistance to families, specifically to kids in our school district that are experiencing food insecurity. With the economy being what it is, and Wisconsin having a harsh economy, especially in the rural districts, it's something that we really believe that people, at a time when they're being thankful around the Thanksgiving holiday, want to find a space to give, to be thankful for what they have and to pay it forward. And so we created this fund called Project Lunchbox. And really what it does is it just puts money into an account at the district, which then people can donate to. And we take those funds and we give it to children for breakfast and lunch. People that are really struggling, that have maybe a deficit in their account, and their families can't afford to feed their kids. And so we take these funds and push it forward and pay it forward the best way we can. And anybody that has an idea that they want to give, they can just write out a check to Project Lunchbox and send it over to the Spring Green office at the River Valley District office.
That's just monetary only then, right?
It is. It is monetary only. Some of the facts behind it is really we've seen across the United States, but specifically to the rural areas, you've seen a rise in the number of kids that are able to utilize free and reduced lunch pricing. The River Valley School District is above 36, somewhere between 36 and 40% of our kids come from free and reduced families now. So that just speaks to the great need of one in every three kids has a need in their home where the food insecurity makes them wonder whether or not they can afford their school lunch. And we don't want that to impede on their success. So we try to find ways to get money in so that we can feed a kid, get their brain moving, and get them learning. So again, children in Wisconsin are at a higher than average risk of food insecurity. And those are things that we really want to take notice of. Specific to the pandemic, we knew a lot of families struggled during the pandemic with food insecurity, and that has continued. So I did some research really quickly, and I looked at Richland County, which is where we're sitting right now. And within Richland County, if you look at their hunger task force and the food share, that's government statistics that we can look for, 40%, actually higher than 40%, 42% of the recipients that get food share benefits in Richland County are kids. The ones that are suffering the most are the children in our schools. And so, yes, there are seniors in need. Yes, there are adults in need, but it's the kids. And we want to make sure that they develop and mature in a responsible way. So we just want to highlight the idea of food insecurity. And we want to make sure that people kind of look at our personal hunger task force and have a spot to give in order to help out families in need.
I know when school is off sometimes, too, that is a scary situation for some children, not knowing they're going to get a square meal.
Yes, right? It is. And we have a backpack program. We actually have a coordinated effort within our community where we send food home over the weekend for children, and then we do it over the summer as well to make sure that children can get food during the summer months. We have some food shares. We have some food pantries in the River Valley region specific to each community, whether it's Arena, Plain, Spring Green, or Lone Rock. Each one of those has a different place where they can go and grab those necessary items for their families. So we want to make sure families know about those. We share those out with our families at River Valley. But within that, you know, the need during a holiday, the need during summer, the need during the weekends are highlighted as well.
And it is anonymous. No one knows Absolutely. Who's free and reduced and who's not. Right?
Yeah, there's a lot of pride that goes into being, I guess I'd call it Wisconsin nice or Midwestern nice, right? You don't want to ask for help, right? But it is in need. And we want to make sure that families know that. So when I say that we have right around 38% of our kids in need, I think that number is low. I think that statistic is low because people are afraid to account for that, or they're afraid to identify their family as having that need. So I would say it's probably 10 to 15% more. So if you look at that and you take my math and add it to that 38%, we've got about half of the kids that really have to make decisions on a weekly basis on whether or not they can eat. And that worries me a lot because a hungry kid can't learn. So I want to make sure everybody's belly is full so their brain can be full. So we want to really work hard on utilizing that. And again, any kind of monetary donation anybody wants to make to the River Valley School District for Project Lunchbox, we'll take any dollars, $1 to $1,000. Send it on in.
You can drop it off to it at one of the school offices?
Any of the school office. You can put it in an envelope and just put Project Lunchbox, and we'll make sure it gets to the right fund.
Tying it into Operation Hygiene, what is that all about, Lauren?
So Operation Hygiene is something that our local Chamber of Commerce works with, and that's our Chamber Director, Julie Jensen, that helps coordinate that with the River Valley School District. So a huge shout out to Julie. She does a great job coordinating the businesses in our local area and helping them find donations. So we have drop boxes for hygiene products, and so that would be like at our libraries or at your local schools or maybe at Royal Bank or maybe even out at Bodacious Salon. You might want to go and drop something off. And what we're looking for is things that get kids through the weekends. It might be a toothbrush. It might be deodorant. It might be shampoo and conditioner, paper towels, lotions, things like hair ties and laundry soap. All of those things that you kind of think about being in your pantry or your restroom, your bathrooms at home. Families don't have those either. And sometimes they're really expensive. So we're doing an Operation Hygiene kind of drop off right now during the same time so that families can find those items. We bring those into the schools and then we have families identify their need, and we make sure they get out to the kids and the families as well.
Indeed. Recently, a whole bunch of schools across the state went to referendum in November, and it's another topic, too. What's the focus of River Valley right now?
Well, River Valley will have an operational referendum coming up in the spring, and we're just getting those details out now. We're just receiving back our aid from the states, and we talked about that last month. So those projections I will bring back to you probably in December. My business manager, Brian Cry, can come and speak to that because we're going to have an operational referendum that will hit River Valley in the spring. So during the April election time, there will be a referendum for the River Valley School District asking for funds, not to build, just to continue in the programming that we have. To have a program like Mean Girls, to have programs like musicals at the high school, we have to have extra funding for their coaches slash supervisors slash directors. We have to rent space. We have to get a rental fee for the show that they're performing. We have to make sure that everything's taken care of. And these are the reasons why people want to come to school. If we didn't have those fun things, attendance would be really difficult. So again, it is to the funding that we want to look at in April is really about keeping the programming that we currently provide. That's simple and true. Details will be forthcoming, but more to come on that in the spring.
It's an ongoing study, it sounds like.
It is. There is disparity in the way that the state of Wisconsin funds their schools. And I could get all political on you, but I don't want to do that right now. But I do want to highlight these kids and the great things they do. It's not free. And if you want good things in your schools, you have to support those good things. And so when the state doesn't provide those dollars, we have to seek those dollars in another way. And so that's why you see many districts, almost all state districts, going to operational referenda, asking for those funds from their communities so the communities can support them.
We've had a chance to highlight lots of River Valley students during your time coming in here, but you talk about the benefits of all these programs. And this program, I know you had the Chamber Singers in with us last year as well. Just amazing what these kids do and then how it propels them into life a little bit too, doesn't it?
It does. All the kids that are in this room right now have thoughts about what they want to do when they grow older, right? I don't want to say grow up because I've never grown up, but as I grow older, there's great things that they want to be involved in, and they want to jump off that diving board of experience in a high school into their kind of field of study. And so whether they want to go into a two-year school or into an apprenticeship or into the military or into a four-year college, we want to make sure that they're prepared. And in order to do that, we've got to offer great diverse activities in our schools. And if we can't do that, we're not going to have the community or citizenship that we need in our country. So really, high schools are building America. Please hear me when I say our high schools, our elementary schools, our middle schools are building our future. And that's why we need to propel money into education so that we can continue to rise and be a part of our future.
So where are you headed next year, Jasmine?
So I'm currently working on, I am pursuing a musical theater Bachelor of Fine Arts. So I'm in the midst of that audition process right now. I've applied to, I think, 10 or 11 schools. And I'm working on the audition process for those now.
My goodness. So what does that entail? Do you have to have film yourself, do an audition?
Yeah, so about half of the schools that I've applied to require pre-screens. So you have to send in some of your audition materials before you can actually schedule an audition. So most of mine require two contrasting monologues, two contrasting songs, and then a dance pre-screen. So I have to record myself doing a 90-second dance combo.
Goodness,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite, you know, and so then it's actually like auditioning for part of a play or a movie.
Yeah. And then, I mean, a lot of the people I've worked with that are helping me through this have told me that it's kind of the same as auditioning for a part, but you're auditioning to play the part of yourself at their school. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
Were indigenous. There's no record of a big roasted bird at the feast. The Native Americans brought deer, and there would have been lots of local seafood plus the fruits of the first pilgrim harvest. Take time to be thankful for what you have and for what our farm families contribute to our well-being every day. This Thanksgiving message for work done on the farm is provided by Town and Country TV and Appliance, your big screen HD TV headquarters, the area's leading appliance store since 1972. Walsh's Ace Hardware is the helpful hardware place, your locally owned and operated source for farm and home. Bindle Tire and Auto, Richland Center, your total car center. Keeps you on the road with oil changes, tune-ups, tires, and alignments. And Chitwood Electric, your source for experienced electric motor rewinding, repair, plus service of electric motors and barn fans.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
A news update is sponsored by Court and Main Furniture and Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. The forecast for today, partly cloudy and quiet, a high of 49. Clouds will increase tonight and a low of 34. Wednesday, mainly cloudy and breezy, a 50% chance of light rain by late afternoon, a high of 51. Right now in Richland Center, it is 27.
Fall in love with shopping local at A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet. This season, embrace the cozy and shop where it matters most, right here in your community. From bedroom sets to lift chairs, we have everything you need to transform your home for the fall. Plus, you're supporting a local business when you choose us. Come in today and experience personalized service, unbeatable value, and that perfect piece you've been searching for. 172 South Church Street, downtown Richland Center. Or call 475-6090. A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet, where comfort meets community.
I'm Phil Nee with a look at WRCO News. The Wisconsin Public Service Commission voted last week to approve rate increases in 2025 and again in 2026. About 1.5 million natural gas users statewide and roughly 1.6 million electricity users in eastern Wisconsin will be impacted by the increases. Preliminary estimates show the average residential We Energies customer will pay about $17 more for electricity and between $4 and $9 more for gas per month by 2026. The average WPS customer will see rates go up roughly $12 for electricity and $4 for gas over the same time period. The Public Service Commission expects to finalize the rate increase amounts by the end of the year. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation, Wisconsin DOT, hosted a ribbon cutting for the new Wisconsin 130 bridges over the Wisconsin River in Lone Rock. The effort was a $40 million multi-year project. Wisconsin DOT Secretary Christina Boardman emphasized the importance of this project.
As we mark the completion of this multi-year project, we look forward to improved safety for all that travel this area. Highways 130 and 133 come together as a connection point for people traveling between the three counties. The busy highways are used by commuters and tourists, but this corridor is also important for freight and agricultural traffic, keeping essential goods moving throughout the region. We're proud to revitalize this critical link with a safer, more reliable infrastructure. these two stunning new bridges replace decades-old structures that reach the end of their service life. The project also reconstructed Highway 133 with comprehensive safety innovations to protect the travelers, including a guardrail and a concrete barrier wall that is designed to reduce crashes and prevent rock falls on the roadway. These were urgent safety needs for the community of Lone Rock and all those that pass through the area.
As a part of the Riverway Board, Director Mark Cupp explained that the Riverway Board is required to work with the Department of Transportation and the Department of Natural Resources on highway bridge projects, such as the Highway 130 bridges.
Therefore, we began working with DOT planners and designers early in the process, looking at alternatives to the existing alignment and focusing on the Highway 14 bridge at Spring Green for some of the design elements related to aesthetic treatments. Clearly, avoiding the rock wall at the south terminus of the bridge was an important feature. Minimizing wetland impacts and impacts on aquatic and terrestrial species of concern and habitats also were important. And then the aesthetics of a major bridge crossing the Wisconsin River. Cooperatively working as a team between different federal, state, and local governmental agencies, private sector contractors and consultants, the new design build format, challenging river flows up and down with records for high flows and low flows in each of the last 2 years, we have arrived at this day at this hour to dedicate the new bridges across the Wisconsin River at Lone Rock, connecting Iowa County to Richland and Sauk counties. A historic and glorious day indeed.
Following the ribbon cutting, Lone Rock Fire EMS, Richland County Sheriff's Department, and Iowa County Sheriff's Department held a small parade to commemorate the official opening of the bridge. Jill Underley's proposal, including increasing special education and reimbursement to 90%, providing per-pupil adjustments to revenue limits, limiting property tax increases, also index revenue limits to inflation for the first time in 15 years, and fund several grant programs. Underley says investments would reduce the number of referendums for operating costs in local communities by having the state rep up to its responsibilities. The Department of Public Instruction's overall budget request, expected to be released in full later this month, will propose more than $4 billion towards K through 12 public education. Early credit program systems, UW System, and the Start College Now, College Edge Up, Wisconsin Tech Colleges programs present the opportunity for dual credit to high school students. The Richland School District Board of Education, with a number of students requesting to enroll in courses through the university system and technical college system, students must have a study hall built into their schedule in each quarter per approved college class. There are three classifications, depending largely upon whether or not the district offers a similar course in the high school. The estimated cost to the district is $100 per credit. The school board unanimously approved the request of 20 students at last night's Richland School District Board meeting. The board also approved a commemorative tree planting and bench placement in memory of Bob Rosencrantz. Bob was a biology and AP environmental science teacher at RCHS from 1990 through 2015 and then continued to substitute teach once he retired until 2020. He was a nature lover and conservationist, also teaching all that he could about the natural world to everyone who stepped into the classroom. In 2006, he plotted out and started a half-acre prairie that sits below the softball field on Hornet Hive Drive. He used the prairie as an opportunity to take his students out of the classroom in order to implement hands-on teaching. Once he retired in 2015, the prairie started to get overgrown due to the lack of attention. Also, from the chance to get that back into order, his son Brock will restore the prairie as a plant, as planting a bur oak tree that has been gifted in his memory. Along with the planting of the bur oak, he will place two Leopold benches around the tree and the prairie as well. There are 10,000 additives in U.S. food products. Wisconsin Watch checked this claim. Trisha Young has more.
U.S. Senator Ron Johnson claimed in September that he heard that there were 10,000, quote, ingredients, unquote, allowed in U.S. food. The FDA estimates over 10,000 chemicals are authorized, including food additives and colorants. In 2011, the Institute of Food Technologists reported 66% were agency approved, with manufacturers deeming the rest safe without FDA review. Lead researcher Thomas Neltner now estimates the count has risen to 11,000 chemicals. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
We'll check out forecast details for the day and the rest of the week in just a moment.
Since 1974, Templin AgriBuilders has been at your service for barn remodeling, machine sheds, calf or young cattle housing, garages, and homes. Talk with Templin AgriBuilder soon at 585-3101. The Templin crew builds the finest pool buildings for farm, commercial, and home, plus siding, roofing, and cement work. Get it done right and get it done local. Call 585-3101 for a free estimate. Templin AgriBuilders, ready to go to work for you.
The forecast for today calls for a high near 50, partly cloudy and quiet conditions, southeast winds at 5 to 12 miles per hour. Tonight, clouds will increase, a low of 34, and Wednesday 51 for a high, with a 50% chance of light rain by afternoon. For Thursday, more clouds than sun, a high in the low 50s, and Friday, partly cloudy and pleasant, and a high of 54. In Richland Center this morning, following a high yesterday of 49, it was 31 at midnight. We dipped to 23 briefly, and right now it is 27 degrees. Looking for an exciting career opportunity with a world leader in coated glass for residential windows and doors? Look no further than Cardinal CG. They're hiring for all shifts, including production positions, with the potential to earn up to $29 an hour. Enjoy up to 6 weeks of time off per year and start earning vacation hours on your very first day. Apply in person Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. Interviews and tours are available at 1024 East Madison Street in Spring Green. Join the Cardinal CG team today and be a part of the future of residential glass innovation. Sports Time is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex, Richland Center's public indoor swimming pool and fitness center, and by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. A look back at state sports from yesterday and an exciting Monday night NFL game last night.
A Kubota tractor will help you get all those jobs done fast and easy. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. Kubota is known for their high-quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors. They have hydrostatic transmissions, loaders, and three points. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of Kubota tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of Kubota tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
The SWAL All-Conference Volleyball selections have been announced. Cuba City went unbeaten through the year, going 12-0. Mineral Point was 10-2. The Pointers made it to the state tournament. With four in the first-team All-Conference, Cuba City also places four on the first-team All-Conference list. The co-players of the year, Ella Vosberg of Cuba City and Mandy Cabot of Mineral Point. Coach Kerry Lawson of Cuba City was recognized as the Coach of the Year. Boscobel with an honorable mention player, Kenna Wallen, and Riverdale's Macy McKay was named on the honorable mention list as well. Marquette got off to a fast start, then had to hold on to beat Central Michigan last night, 70-62. Stevie Mitchell led four Golden Eagles in double figures by scoring 17. His team led in the first half by a 38-17 score, but that melted down to 42-27 by the halftime. Marquette had problems finding the hoop, hitting just 36% from the field and 10 of 36 from three-point range. Coach Shaka Smart's Eagles are on the road Friday at Maryland.
You know, it's good for us to deal with tough shooting nights. It's good for us to deal with an opponent or opponents that won't go away and continue to fight. You know, we're still in a lot of ways a work in progress, figuring out offensively, you know, who the playmakers are on our team beyond Cam.
The Bucks get back to action this evening. After a night off, they will be hosting the Toronto Raptors. Former NFL head coach Jack Del Rio has resigned his position on the Badger football team. Rio was taken into custody last week after Madison police say he appeared to be impaired following a traffic accident. Police say his car went off of out of control, hit a street sign, and broke a fence in Madison. Del Rio joined Luke Fickell's staff last August as a senior advisor. He had coached for years in the NFL, but this was his first job with a college football program. It was the hand of former Badger linebacker Leo Chanel that blocked a field goal attempt Sunday and kept the Kansas City Chiefs undefeated. Time was expiring, and an accurate kick would have given the Broncos the victory. Thanks to Chanel's heroics, Kansas City held on for a 16-14 win. The former Wisconsin star has one sack, two forced fumbles, 33 combined tackles, and three tackles for loss with the Chiefs. Also, last night, it was a Monday night game, an exciting one that saw the conclusion come down to the end with Miami winning 23-15 over the L.A. Rams. The Dolphins snapping their three-game losing streak with a gritty 23-15 performance. And L.A. Dodgers star Shohei Ohtani is a finalist for his first National League MVP award after winning the American League honor twice, joining among the top three in National League voting, including Francisco Lindor and also Ketel Marte. New York Yankee outfielder Aaron Judge is a finalist for his second AL MVP in three seasons. That's an update on sports for a Tuesday morning. I'm Phil Nee. Why should you join Simon's Recreation Complex? It's not about their modern equipment or great exercise classes or even the comfy swimming pool. It's about how you can get the best out of your 50-plus body now and for the rest of your life. If you think taking part in the programs offered at Simon's Recreation Complex would be just for young people, it's time to rethink that notion.
You're showing off the best parts about yourself, and it's not really, God, I hope the school wants me. It's here's what I have to offer, and whatever offers I get, I will find the place that's best for me based on the response, which is kind of the outlook you have to have going into it, because most people, trying to get into a musical theater program is like applying to college twice, because you have to get accepted academically, and then you have to get accepted into their program. So a lot of people aren't doing that, so you have to go into this process with an optimistic outlook, otherwise you're never going to make it.
So what kind of a career pattern would you like? A director, an actress? Or
the dream is a performer, uh-huh. But honestly, the dream is to perform, but I've also looked at, like, I'm trying to, like, stage management.
Oh, okay.
Not really being a stage manager, but, like, the artistic direction, like management, artistic management. I don't really know what the title is for it, but
arts administration.
Thank you, Dave. But I need to stay around theater. I can't imagine myself doing anything else, and I don't care if it's on or off stage. I need to be involved in theater.
Well, growing up where you've grown up too, you know, such a rich area, and you have APT right there.
Yeah, I've been going to APT shows since I was little, and I've been in shows since I was little. The first show I was in The Wizard of Oz, and I was Toto. So at 3 years old. So I've grown up around a lot of good community theater, a lot of good professional theater, and it's really shaped who I am, because theater is such an environment where you can fully be who you are, and there will be at least one person in that room who connects with you, empathizes with you, and has been through something that you have been through. So every theater community I've been in has felt like a family, and I would like to experience that for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, good luck with those goals.
Thank you.
Too. And Mean Girls is what a great way to kind of cap off your career, right?
Yeah, exactly, it's fantastic.
Uh-huh. So what about you? I know you're only a junior, Dave, but have you thought about what you'd like to do after high school?
I'm definitely thinking of going to a four-year college. I'm not exactly sure what I want to study. Probably I'm still thinking about theater, definitely. I've had a great experience with the musical. I've been in shows at APT. I've been around that community a whole lot. But also... Yes, something that I have, I feel like a skill I have is public speaking, speaking in front of people. So I'm looking at careers that utilize that.
Awesome. Well, you can utilize that in just about every career.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Perfect. And what about you, Tessa? Have you thought about your post high school?
Loosely. I know that I want to further my education. I'm kind of flip-flopping between marketing and education right now. So we'll kind of see where the cookie crumbles with that. So, yeah, I'm starting to think about, like, touring schools, though. So it's just kind of, like, getting into the process of, like, what next? Mm-hmm.
Why should people come see Mean Girls at River Valley Schools?
I think that the productions that River Valley put on are some of, like, obviously I'm biased, but I think that they're some of the best. And just, like, the dedication that all of the actors have, like, especially the principals, just, like, the time that they put into really knowing their character and, like, you know, giving you a good performance, it's, I don't know. I'm really proud of the work that my castmates are putting in, and I'm really excited to, like, see it all come together, and I think that it's going to be a really cool experience.
What about you, David? Why should people come to the show?
We may not have some of the resources as some of these big private schools or even really big public schools have, but what we do have is we really are a family, and I think that really shows in the musicals we put on. We all work together, and we love what we do, and I think you can really see that in the musical. Through our choreography, through our singing, and through our acting together, you can really see how... you know, it's something we love to do together. And that's why you should come see it.
Awesome. Jasmine?
Yeah, everything they said, I feel that our administrative team, our directors, our choreographer, our incredible stage managers. We have four student stage managers, Annabelle Springer, Elizabeth Baumberger, Joe Linz, and Lily Bauer.
They're wonderful.
They're wonderful. I think the environment that our administrative team curates, we have these things called working agreements, and they're sort of like the guidelines on how we proceed through the process of creating a musical. And one of my favorites is, this is a brave space, and in order to be a brave space, it has to be a safe space. So you can walk into rehearsal with whatever baggage you have from your life, and you get to set it all down. And for 3 hours, you get to completely escape into something. And I think everybody in our cast so wholeheartedly believes in that the love and, like, genuine energy and time and, like, passion we have for this project is so visible once we put it on a stage. Like, every single year, I cry on stage at some show. Like, I'm such a crier in general. But... like, there is so much genuine emotion and passion that goes into these shows, and I think it's so tangible for an audience. So I think if you want to be moved, you should come see our show.
Well, it sounds like good therapy, too.
Yes. I mean,
like you say, you're just kind of clearing your mind at the end of the day, right?
Exactly. That's what it is. For me, performance is my therapy. I'm a dancer, too. So being able to lay down all of my problems and just move somehow is one of my favorite things.
How tough is the choreography, dude?
Michael Stanek, the choreographer, has been on Broadway. He's one of the best choreographers. I don't know exactly, but probably in the country. He's so great. And he's tough, but he expects the best of us, but we need it. And Jasmine has been dancing her whole life. She's a great dancer. I lack some of the dancing skills that she has. So, but really, he knows that, and he just pushes us to do the best. And a joke I like to say, but it's really true, is he'll say to me, you know, Dave, you bring a lot of great character, but maybe your character just doesn't like to dance or doesn't know how to dance. One of the songs we do is they have this amazing tap break, and I kind of look on in awe, and I try to do it, and I fail. So, yeah, I mean, choreography is difficult for me and for everybody, but, yeah, he's so great, and, yeah,
So, yes.
Yeah, I'm in that tap break. And from a technical standpoint, Michael's choreography is nuts. It's crazy. We have a choreography camp every year where it's like, it's 2 days. It's like 12 hours on the first day and like six on the second day, where Michael just cranks out all of our dance. And it's hard. It's technically hard dance, but we have a phenomenal dance ensemble this year who does an incredible job of picking that choreography up and putting all of Michael's intent behind it. And I always say Michael does an incredible job of making everybody look like a dancer, at least.
Yes.
So
that's quite
really
a stretch.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Exactly, especially for me.
What about the set? How elaborate is that, Tessa?
We haven't technically seen our set yet, but we have it taped off for like a concept, but it's going to be really cool. We're going to borrow one from APT and kind of like spruce it up and make it our own. So that's going to be really cool. And then we have props coming in from, honestly, all over.
Numerous places.
Yeah, it's the whole community just kind of steps in and supports, and it's what makes the show so great.
Well, I know you guys are prepared to possibly sing a song if I request one, right?
Yeah.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah.
So if you would be so kind for our morning show audience to do a particular number for Mean Girls, which is coming up in December at River Valley.
Yeah, we're going to do a little bit of Revenge Party.
Okay.
Now that's a party.
A revenge party. A party that ends with somebody's head on a spike.
Whoa, whoa.
It's a revenge party with your two best friends. It's like a party with revenge is what it's like. Party with revenge is what it's like. Party with revenge is what it's like. Party with revenge is what it's like.
Chicka pow.
Oh my goodness.
Acapella.
Yeah, acapella and everything. That was very impressive. Fun stuff there, Mr. Glassbrenner.
Yeah, it's easy to be proud when you have kids like this in your school district that are just using their energy for goodness and they're bringing it forward. It's so easy to be proud and so thankful for the adults in their lives that are allowing them to show all of this great energy at the school district as well. So just really, really a great opportunity for some kids, and we hope everybody comes out and enjoys the show Mean Girls over at River Valley High School production that will be at APT. And again, Jasmine talked of it. It'll be in December on the 13th, 14th, and 15th. Look on our website, rvschools.org, and we'll get those ticket get that ticket information out to you also on social media so that everybody knows how to get to be a part of the show, even if you're just in the audience.
You were involved in the arts a little bit back in school. I was too as well, but think about what we gained from that experience.
Incredible. It's incredible. And so, it's funny because the kids were talking about something as we were driving over here today, and it makes you really think about some of those experiences that you had when you were a kid. I was in a show, Little Abner, with my brother. So I was in a show with my brother, and we were being hillbillies, and it really wasn't too far off the block for us, to be honest with you, to come off a farm in Boscobel to be thrown onto a stage to play a hillbilly. But it was really fun, and it brings back those great memories, and allowing us to have those things continue as traditions in our school districts is an incredible thing. So really proud of these kids, really proud of the district, and really I get to have the best job around.
Yeah, you do. Promoting the district and all the good things there. Today is Veterans Day. I know you had a program earlier this
morning. It is. We had a program at the elementary school where a lot of our veterans come and they do a flag salute. We get to have the kids really understand what it is to be a veteran, how it is to be a part of that celebration, to show respect for the flag, to those that have served, to show respect for those that have passed, that have gone before us, that were vets, either in war or in life. And so we're thankful to veterans and their families, and we really want to thank any veteran out there. It's an honor. It's an honor to make sure that we take this day at a school to make sure that kids understand that great sacrifice. So it happened at the elementary school. There were announcements and activities at the middle school and at the high school. I believe right now, if you went into the Early Learning Center, there would be veterans having donuts and listening to poetry and getting pictures from our youngest learners. So, yeah, we really want to just highlight the service that those folks have given for our country and are thankful for the time they've put in.
We'll see you in December, and we'll have a whole new set of topics to talk about.
We will. We'll bring back lots of ideas back in December, and thank you for allowing us to bring some great guests. I want to thank Jazz, I want to thank David, and I want to thank Tessa for really jumping in today and showing what true leadership is in our schools.
Very well said. Absolutely. Lauren Glassbender from River Valley Schools, along with Jasmine Gauger, Dave Van Halgren, and Tessa Pear. Good luck with your production of Mean Girls.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pleasure to meet all of you. The Morning Show will be back tomorrow with more subjects right here and more friends in the studio.
Good morning. This is Pamela at Pamela's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Spring Green. How can it be November already? Citrine is the birthstone for November, a perfect fall gemstone of orange and yellow color. All Citrine jewelry is on sale through November and save 20% for that perfect Citrine jewelry at Pamela's in beautiful downtown Spring Green.
The best place to catch a Friday night fish dinner is the Phoenix Center. Dine in or carry out delicious deep fried or baked fish. Fish is served from 4 to 8 p.m. Fridays only. The Phoenix Center serves food and fun every day. The pizza is out of this world, and after a great meal, make it an even better night with a game of bowling. The Phoenix Center is family fun at its best, open at 11 a.m. Monday through Sunday. The Phoenix Center, this area's go-to spot for good times and great food.
Since 1988, Kinship of Richland County has been matching caring adults with area children ages 5 through 17 who need a little more TLC than they normally receive. After careful screening, volunteers agree to spend at least 1 hour per week for a year with kids who have similar interests. They do things like fishing, baking, and bowling, but the main benefit is the time they spend together. Mentors listen and offer encouragement to help the child discover their own path to a fulfilling future. All that's required is a commitment of time and sincerity. If you're interested in learning more about becoming a volunteer or referring a child, please contact us at 608-475-2880.